Hi, welcome to Eastside Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. Today, our guest speaker, Nolan Lovren, will describe to us how to run the race of the faith described by Paul. Now, let's turn into the sermon.
This morning, we are going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to that passage. This book, the Apostle Paul wrote this book to the Corinthian believers. And in the verses that we're going to look at, in verses 24 through 27, he is using an illustration of what is called the Isthmian Games. And so this year, we all gathered in front of the TV to recognize something and to celebrate something that only comes around every 4 years, and that's the Olympics. It's something that we all tune into. It's something that we're all cheering for the same crowd. We're all rooting for America to win the gold medal in every event that they possibly can. And so, the Isthmian Games that Paul is using as an illustration in these verses was second in line to the Olympic Games during the time that this scripture was written, during the times that Paul would have been writing to the Corinthian believers. And so he uses this illustration to show them how Christians should serve God, how Christians are to be servants of Christ, to show them the importance of practicing self-control and exercising self-control, because we have a purpose for serving Christ, and so that we will not be disqualified in service to Christ. So if you will, go ahead and we'll pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word and just the blessing it is to our lives, and that the truth in it is timeless and that it speaks to every age and every generation. Father, I ask that you would speak through me this morning, God, and that my words would not be my own, but they would be yours. So, Father, open our hearts and open our minds to what you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, like I said, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And it reads, "Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we, a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I, myself, will not be disqualified." And so, like I said just a second ago, Paul is using the idea of a race, the illustration of a race that they would refer to the Isthmian Games, second in line to the Olympics, to describe service to Christ. And the reason we know that he is describing Christians to be servants of Christ is just because just ahead, prior to the verses that we are reading now in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul just got through of telling of his own service to Christ. He just got through with the passage to where he says, "I have become all things to all people so that I might win some to Christ." He passionately expressed to the believers in this letter that he gave all he had in order to serve Christ, in order to be a servant of Christ. And so that's what Paul is telling us this morning in his passage. He's saying, don't you know that runners in a stadium all race? Don't you know that all believers are servants of Christ? He said, but only one receives the prize. So run in such a way to win the prize. When we are running a race, you have to run with everything you have. And you have to give it all you got. And no matter what it takes, you might have to become all things to all people in order to win one to Christ. But then it continues on and it says, now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. So before we look at the importance of exercising self-control, first we need to look at what self-control is and what that means. So the Corinthians were already believers as Paul was writing to them. He refers to them as brothers, and so he's referring to them as believers in Christ. But the Corinthians tended to slip back, and they began to slip into different practices. One of them, the main ones that they slipped into, was sexual immorality and not being able to control their own desires over their bodies and the desires that their body would give them. And so Paul, and you can see this in 1 Corinthians 7:5, where Paul was talking about a husband and a wife, and he said, do not deprive one another sexually, except when you agree for a time to devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, otherwise Satan may tempt you because you lack self-control. But so you see, the Corinthian believers lacked self-control. They struggled in the aspect of self-control, of disciplining their bodies. So when Paul mentions self-control in a general statement, Paul is saying we need to be able to control our own selfish desires. We need to be able to control our own temptations, the sinful temptations that haunt us each and every day, the things that we have to give over to God in order to be fully active for Him, in order to be able to give Him everything that we have in service. Galatians 5:22-25 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit." So you see, because we are believers in Christ Jesus, our sin nature has been covered. Our sin, we have been set free from the guilt of our sin if we are believers in Christ Jesus. But that does not mean we are not still tempted with sin. Each and every day, Satan wants to make us not serve God. He wants us to do the exact opposite thing that God wants us to do. He wants us to go against God. Because Satan is of this world, but our God is not of this world. And so Satan wants us to focus on worldly things that will pass away. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it." 1 Corinthians 10:13 is just past the passage that we're looking at this morning. And so Paul is saying, exercise self-control in everything. Athletes exercise self-control in everything. They have to discipline their own body. Olympic athletes have to abstain from things like bad diets that might take a couple of seconds off their time if they're a runner. Or they have to discipline themselves to not be indulgent in alcohol and drugs and things like that, which we should all discipline ourselves in such practices. And another thing that they have to discipline themselves in is laziness. Because an Olympic athlete is not just going to wake up one morning and decide not to go train. Because if they have that kind of attitude, more than likely they are not going to make it to the Olympics. An Olympic athlete has to say, even when they don't want to get up in the morning to do anything, "I'm going to the gym." They have to say, whatever their sport might be, they have to get up and they have to discipline themselves out of laziness into actively pursuing their goal of being an Olympic athlete. And so Christian disciplines are just as important. 1 Timothy 4:8 says that the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And see, we have to exercise self-control over the sinful temptations that haunt us each and every day, that try to bring us down, that try to take our focus away from God, away from our Savior, away from the one that we worship. And those Christian disciplines that help us exercise self-control are things like prayer. It's things like reading the Word of God. It is things like meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, fasting. It are these disciplines in a Christian life that help us keep our focus, that help us know that when temptation comes, just as 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, that he provides a way of escape and we see that way of escape. It helps us to be able to control our selfish desires and to put our desires towards Christ. So now that we've looked at self-control and what it means to have self-control and to resist the temptations of sin and to look towards Christ, we're going to look at the importance of self-control in serving Christ. We'll continue on reading, and it said in verse 25, "Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air." As Christians, we exercise self-control because we are running a race with purpose. We are not running the Christian race. We are not servants of Christ for no reason at all. We have a purpose, and that purpose is a crown that will not disappear. You see, the people that in the Isthmian Games, the people at the Olympics, they run a race in order to win a medal, in order to set a world record, in order to get something that in the end, when we are all gone and they are nothing but legends, will still be here on earth. Things that will pass away. And Paul says, no. He said, we are servants of Christ. We are running a race. We are running the race of Christian life because we have a purpose, and that purpose will not pass away. That purpose is for God's glory, and it's to advance the kingdom of God. So we don't run aimlessly, and we don't box like we're just punching in the air with no target. Our target is to help advance the kingdom of God. Our target is to glorify Christ. Our target is to spread the gospel. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus said these things. He said, "Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal." You see, the things of this earth will pass away. The things that we might gain on this earth, they're going to pass away. But the purpose to glorify God, the purpose to advancing his kingdom, those treasures that we build up in heaven will last for eternity. That is our sole purpose as Christians, as servants of Christ. Our purpose is to advance the kingdom of God. Our purpose is to glorify God in everything we do. Our purpose is to become all things for all people so that we might win one to Christ. But Paul tells us that our prize is imperishable, that our prize will not fade away. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." His good purpose of glorifying him, his good purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. We must exercise self-control. The importance of that is because when we exercise self-control against our sinful temptations, and we are able to resist those temptations and see God's way of escape when those temptations come, we can have our focus on those heavenly purposes. But see, when we don't exercise self-control, we give in to the sinful temptations. And it might look on the outside like we might be trying to serve Christ, but in the back of our minds, we're serving somebody else so that maybe we get something back in return. We're giving something to somebody so that maybe they'll give it back to us one day. We're doing things out of our own selfish desires, out of promoting our own goodwill, out of promoting our own good behavior, in order to look good in front of other people, But our purpose is not that. Our purpose is to glorify God. And so if we are able to exercise self-control over our bodies, then we can keep our focus on the true purpose, which is to glorify God and to advance His kingdom. The second reason that we must exercise self-control when it comes to being a servant of Christ is in verse 27. In verse 26, we'll read that so we can get the flow of the verse into verse 27. It says, "Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. But instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." See here, this word disqualified, Paul is not talking in the sense of losing your salvation or being disqualified from being able to enter into the kingdom of God, being disqualified and being able to enter into heaven. But rather, it is an idea that you will be disqualified in service to Christ. And let me explain that. In a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 16 about a dishonest manager, a manager who did not handle his master's money well, he was dishonest with it. Jesus said, "Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. So if you have not been faithful with the unrighteous money, who will trust you with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own?" So you see, we practice and we exercise self-control in order that we will be trusted to do the things of Christ. In order that we will be trusted with the purposes that God has set us here for. Because you see, if a coach has a couple players or Olympic athletes are training for the Olympics for their sport, and you have one who is very disciplined, and he comes to practice and he does exactly what he's supposed to do, but you can tell there's just something about him where he is putting in extra effort, that he is not only putting in the practice on the field, but he is doing the practice at home. He is doing whatever he needs to do in order to become better each and every day. Whatever the coach tells him to do, whatever the coach says, "Hey, do this a little bit differently," he obeys that coach. And he's listening to that coach. And he's following the coach's lead. And then you have another player who doesn't practice at home. He comes to practice. He does exactly what he has to do. But you can tell that his desire is not really to become a better player. His desire is not really to give it all he can to the team, but rather he's just there to be there. And he's there maybe just so that he can get a letterman jacket before he graduates high school. But when it comes time to play, even if they are at the same skill level, who is the coach more than likely going to put on the field? He's going to put the player who put all the extra work, who had faith in the coach, he's going to put the player who poured his heart out for the team on that field because he knows that he can be trusted with the big decisions. So you see, when Paul is talking about being disqualified in service for Christ, Paul is saying, if you can exercise self-control, and if you can obey God in the little things, then He will trust you with the bigger things. You have a purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And your purpose might be to minister to your family. Your purpose might be to minister to orphans in Cairo, Georgia. Your purpose might be to take care of widows in Cairo, Georgia. Your purpose might be to minister to the youth, to minister to the senior adults, to minister to the middle ages, to new mothers, to minister to those who might be on their deathbed, to minister to children. We all have a different purpose, but we're all running the same race. And in each and every day, we have little things that we must obey. And it might just be, I want you to be nice to this cashier today, because down the road, I have a plan for you to have a conversation with them about me. I want you to resist your selfish desire to stay in bed this morning and go out and help with the community project, because in the long run, that is, I'm going to be glorified through that. And even those things that just seem so minute, that seem like they don't really matter, God is watching. And he's saying, if you can obey me in those small things, then I know that I can trust you with more. And so we have to exercise self-control so that our focus can be on the heavenly purpose of advancing the kingdom and glorifying God, and so that we won't be disqualified in service to God, that he will trust us to do even more for his purpose. Because I do believe that if there is somebody God has a purpose for and he wants them to do a certain task, but they are not being obedient to God, that there's a strong possibility God will find another person to fulfill that purpose, somebody that he knows can accomplish that task, somebody he knows that he can trust with that task. And so it is important that we exercise self-control by disciplining ourselves each and every day to resist the sinful temptations that knock at our door, the temptations that tell us to not serve Christ but to serve the world and to serve our own desires rather than God's desires. That way, we will be advancing the kingdom of God, but God will also see that we can be trusted to do his work. I want to end with a story, an inspiring story about this girl. Her name is Kayla Montgomery. I don't know her personally. I saw her story on the internet. But when she was about 15 years old, she grew up playing soccer her entire life, and about 15 years old, she took a really hard fall in a game. And she was taken out of the game. She went home, and later that night or the next day or a couple days later, she began to have this constant tingling in her legs, and then she got to the point to where she couldn't feel her legs at all. So they went to the doctor, and they ended up diagnosing her with MS, multiple sclerosis, which is the body's immune system attacking its own nerve cells, and there is no cure for it. Well, over the next eight months, she still had no feeling in her legs, but after more medical treatment and more therapy and things like that, she began to get her feeling back, and she began to get her feeling back in her legs. But she actually ended up giving up soccer, and she turned instead to long-distance track running, and she turned to a coach who believed that she could do it. And in her interview, she said, "I wasn't really guaranteed the next couple of years of running, and I wanted to make the most out of every day I could, and I wanted someone to hold me accountable." And although the coach believed she could run, he didn't even think that she would make the varsity team. He knew she could run, but he didn't think that she could run good enough to make the varsity squad. But she would prove him wrong. Kayla began running, and she soon realized that when she would begin to run and her body would start to get hot from running, that it would cause her MS symptoms to come back up and she would lose feeling in her legs while she was running. And while this is a setback for her at first, because it hindered her from being able to keep her pace while she was running, she actually fought through it and she figured out how to keep her pace, and she actually became one of the fastest female runners in North Carolina. But at the end of the race, because she can't feel her legs after she starts running and she gets hot, she can't feel her legs, her coach has to stand at the finish line to catch her because she doesn't know how to stop. And so even though she is one of the fastest female runners in North Carolina, her coach is at the finish line there, standing, waiting to catch her when she finishes the race. Which is a beautiful picture of that when we finish our race here on earth, that God's going to be there to catch us, and that God's going to be there for us, waiting for us in heaven. But you see, she went on to the state championships her senior year, and it was her final race. And they started running, and she fell down in the first lap. But she got back up, and she kept running. She didn't let the fall stop her. And even though it didn't look like she would catch up, she came around in the final lap, giving it all she had, and she won the race. The interviewer asked her, "Why do you do it?" Kayla answered her, "I guess I do it because it makes me happy. It makes me feel normal and whole. It's difficult to live with a disease where your own body is fighting against yourself. But when I'm running, I feel like I'm battling that. I feel like I'm safe from myself. As long as I'm running, everything's fine. Everything is okay." We are running a race. And as runners, as Christians, our race is a Christian life. Our race is glorifying God. Our race is advancing the kingdom of God. But you see, Kayla did not let her disease, she didn't let her disease take her over. And our disease is our sinful nature. And that's why we have to practice exercise self-control. That is why we have to bring our body under strict discipline, so that we don't let our disease take us over. That no matter what might be holding us back, no matter what sinful temptation we might have, no matter what it might be, well, no matter what seems to hold us back from serving God, that if we exercise self-control and discipline ourselves to put our focus and purpose for God's glory, so that we can give everything we have as servants of Christ, then our disease will not take us over. And our coach is going to be at the finish line waiting for us. When we give it all we have, we can be the most effective servants for Christ that God has built us for, that God has made us for. But the question is are we willing to discipline ourselves? Are we willing to set aside an extra 30 minutes, an hour, or however much time to get our focus right with God for the day? Are we willing to say no to some of our own selfish things in order to help out with the church, in order to glorify God? Are we willing to set aside our own desires in order to put first God's desires? They're going to come up and play one last song, and we're going to have a benediction. And I'm going to stand up here. Of course, the altar is open for prayer. If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day for salvation. We are not promised tomorrow. But if there's just a burden on your heart, maybe something in your life that you know that you need God's help with, the altar's open for you too. So let me pray with us. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you that in all things we can lean on you, Father, that you give us the strength to be able to exercise self-control, Father, so that we can fully serve you to the capacity that you would have us serve. Lord, we thank you for all things. We thank you for your love, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for the cross. and that your Son died for our sins, and that he rose from the grave so that we can have life through him. Help us to remember the truth that you have given us as we leave this place.